unmute myself there. There we go. Grateful that we have had the opportunity for different members of our congregation to choose a song or a scripture, sometimes both, and then to let these stories from their lives emerge from those places where God's word has come into their lives and into their hearts. Today's story is from Karen, and she is going to be sharing on the theme of love. In 1 John, this text that she chose, we read the sermon about love and the extent of love. And it goes on and on. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God. God is love. God sends Jesus into the world for love. If we love one another, we see God. God's love is perfect in us. On and on and on. We see that God is love itself, a living embodiment of love. And we are God's living embodiment on earth. We take on this image of love, love so vast and strong and powerful that it forms creation, it moves in human lives, it sustains and breathes through all things. And we'll hear that in the song that Karen picked. Could we, with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretch from sky to sky. So we have this big description of love right up front. And then we get to the reason why. This community is struggling with fear. The fear in this little house church to whom John writes, it feels so strong, because fear is like that. It can overwhelm. It sneaks in through the cracks, and then it grows and it grows and it grows. But we notice John doesn't start by naming this fear. He starts with love. Only then does he go on to say, people are afraid because we think we're going to be punished. We're afraid of the consequences. But what is fear in the face of this great love that puts stars into motion and can overcome even the most profound differences between people? Love, God incarnate, will change everything about our lives if we let it in to begin its work of freedom among us. And with that background from John's story, I invite Karen to share with us how John and this song have emerged into her life. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Melissa. That was a great introduction. So I was asked about a little over a week ago to do this. And since I had the week off from work, I decided I would go ahead and agree since I had time to think about it. And I always struggle when I try to come up with a favorite anything. There's just so many good things out there, especially you might imagine my a favorite food or a favorite book. Those are especially hard for me. And hymns are there too, but the love of God often comes to mind as a favorite hymn of mine. So that's what I've chosen for today. And especially that third verse that Melissa read has been really impactful for me. So I'm going to share some thoughts that I've had this week about it, or had over the years and this week as I've reflected on it again. So many of you know that I grew up in a small rural Mennonite church in Virginia. And we sang a lot of four-part hymns, and I remember singing this song as a child because it was so poetic. I loved it. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. I was a very scientifically minded child, but at the same time, having this poetry and recognizing that there are things that are just indescribable. And it gave me this feeling of expansive love and an expansive God that couldn't be fully described or understood. And I get the same overwhelming feeling in different settings. When I'm singing with a large choir in harmony, it's a feeling when I learn something really cool in science, how things work together or function. When I stand, at least in past times, when I stood in the middle of a crowd at the International Festival and I could hear all the different languages being spoken around me, these are times when I just get this overwhelming feeling of God and love. And it's something I felt a lot this past week when I spent some time in the mountains of Southwest Virginia. I stood at the top of a peak and looked out over the rolling hills, or laid on the grass outside at midnight to look for shooting stars in the dark, dark night sky out there in the country. And I'm amazed at the way that poets are able to use their words to describe even a little bit of this wonder. So after growing up in the Mennonite church, attending a Mennonite high school, and the first 2 years of Eastern Mennonite University, I spent the fall semester of my junior year in a cross-cultural experience in Central America, and it had a big impact on me. Many of the Mennonite universities have a requirement of some sort for a cross-cultural semester or summer experience, because during that time of life, it's important to further expand our horizons and to recognize that our own experiences are not universal. So the bulk of my time was spent in Guatemala, and in the morning we studied language, and in the afternoon we learned about the history of Central America. And we didn't just learn the history from textbooks, but also from real people who had experienced tragic loss and violence, the result of events that more often than not, the U.S. had played some part in. We also learned from our home stays. Each of us was placed with a different family for those 2 months in Guatemala City, living with materially impoverished Christians who had very different life experiences than our own, but were so warm and welcoming to us. Our last month was spent with shorter visits and learning in Honduras, Nicaragua, and El Salvador, all countries with their own beauty amid histories of turmoil. We worshiped with these Christians in their churches, and we saw their strong faith in action. During the semester, we had several breaks from the heaviness of this study, and I have a memory of sitting on a beach together and singing hymns. This is probably something only Mennonite college students would do. One of the songs we sang was The Love of God, and it had a new meaning for me in this context. How could these people who have experienced so much hardship and violence still believe in a God who loved them this much, but somehow, miraculously, they seem to have an even stronger faith in the love of God? There's a tension there which I don't think I'll ever fully resolve, and I think which many of us probably feel there, where we believe and worship a loving, omnipresent, and omnipotent God, but at the same time, horrible and unexplained things are happening around us every day. It's impossible to live in this world and not sometimes ask God, where is your love in this moment? That's often the moment, though, when I feel God's love pouring out through other people. 1 John 4 says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We become an extension of God's love to each other, and God's love grows even bigger. The love of God is a popular topic that has been discussed many times and is represented in so many different songs and scriptures. God's love is described as everlasting, unconditional, consistent, never failing, overflowing, transforming. And the scripture from this morning says, God is love. So this week, when I reflected on the lyrics of the song, I was thinking about how we in the U.S. are currently living with such a strong scarcity mentality and a fear of loss. It's imposed on us from many different directions, including advertising and the news media, and the isolation and fear around the pandemic has not helped. We're told that if someone else has what they need, that means we won't have enough anymore. That if Black Lives Matter, it takes something away from our worth as white people. That if everyone has the right to health care and a safe place to live with decent jobs and living wages, somehow we ourselves will lose out. And I believe this scarcity mentality, dangerous enough in a secular sense, also starts to overflow into our thinking about God's love. It feels like some churches and Christians today are acting out of fear. A fear that if God's love extends to everyone, then maybe God's love for us has lost some of its specialness. Of course, that's how the Jews must have felt when Jesus opened up God's mission to include the Gentiles. Jewish people were God's chosen people, but if the Messiah now came for everyone, what did that say about God's special promise to them? So the other scripture that came to mind this week was Jesus's parable of the workers in Matthew 20. If you remember the story, some workers start first thing in the morning and others join throughout the day.
But at the end of the day, the landowner pays all of them the same fair daily wage, regardless of how long they had worked. And there was grumbling from those who had worked all day long that that wasn't fair. Through this parable, Jesus teaches us a different sense of fairness, that God's generosity to all of the latecomers doesn't take anything away from what was given to the original few. The kingdom of God is not a capitalist meritocracy. God's love is wide and deep, and there's enough for everyone. The specialness of God's love for me doesn't come from my being chosen or my unique calling, but it is in the gift of being part of something bigger than me and bigger than all of us, as big as God's love.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and parted from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When ancient times shall pass away, and human thrones and kingdoms fall, when all on earth refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every one a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, the stretch from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels.